Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, Combatants, the Anything Combat Show, when we discuss everything mixed martial arts. Shout out Pauline Cunanan for setting this appointment up. We're joined by 3-0, one championship. He's fighting Jordan Estupunen, January 24th. Please welcome to the show, Freddie Haggerty. How you doing, Freddie?
I'm good, thank you, bro. How are you?
I'm good, bro. So, truthfully, do you feel like jabbing Jack Samui in the head all the time without him, like, you know, hitting you back? Do you think that's beneficial to the training?
Yeah, I think so, because it's exactly what I've done in the last fight, really. Just jabbed a lot. Oh, definitely beneficial.
Bro, tell me, so you're taking on the Colombian. What do you think about Jordan and his brother? Like, what do you think about their skill level in Muay Thai?
So I haven't seen much of Jordan, seen more of his brother, because obviously he had multiple fights on one. He's got some crazy skills. His brother, he's wild, comes to the fight, so I'm expecting Jordan to be the exact same.
Okay, so you're taking on the younger brother, and I know you've been vocal about Johan Ghazali and stuff. Johan's taking on the older brother, so what do you think about that matchup, Johan v. Johan? What do you think of that?
I think it's a bad matchup for Ghazali, because Estupinan's going to take the fight to him and come at him, but I think Ghazali likes to fight like that. He likes to have a little bit of a crazy fight, so maybe it'll be good for him.
I think that, like, even with what you said about the smaller gloves, I think, like, you know, I was at the seminar with Liam Harrison just a little bit ago, and he was talking about how smaller gloves fighters beat these Thais or these technically better fighters just off athleticism, and it's not really a good showing of who's better because you can catch the fighter. And I feel like Johan's level right now, he's really leveled up. I feel like someone like the other Johan, the Colombian one, I think because he's so explosive, he may be able to drop Johan, which in my opinion, I don't think he's as good as Ghazali. So, you know what I mean? I think that these guys, these Colombian fighters, I feel like they're really fucking explosive. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think, like I said before, they've got a weird style, a crazy style. Like you said, they're explosive. And what Liam said is very true, because you see it just Friday, just gone with Pampayak losing to the Russian guy. I'm not really sure his name. Pampayak is a world-class Muay Thai fighter. There's no doubt about it. Everyone knows it. He's beat everyone. But them little gloves are a game changer. And if you don't like getting hit, then it's a big problem.
Are you glad to see, like, other nations getting a chance? Because Muay Thai, as you know, like, it's a niche sport. And then you and your brother, you know, put the British scene and started putting the British scene on the map. And it's given, you know, with one championship, it's given a new platform for new nations and new, like, continents to get involved in Muay Thai. And these guys coming out of South America, we don't see a lot of Colombian fighters. So how do you feel about, like, one, giving a platform to new nations getting a chance?
I think it's great. I think it's only going to grow the sport bigger, to be honest. The more countries involved, the bigger the sport will be, and the better it is for everyone else. But even in normal gloves, you're starting to see that we're starting to take over. Like, we've got the likes of Joe Ryan. He's absolutely smashing it at the moment. He's beating everyone. We've got a few other English fighters that are at the top. They're beating top tiers. So I don't think it's just because of the little gloves. I think we're leveling up much more, because obviously the tiers are stuck in their way, and they don't like to change their routine. But we're changing our routine. We're getting S&C coaches in. We're training in Thailand as well, learning new things. So I think, yeah, it's great that other countries are getting chances, 100%.
Can you run me through that with, like, Joe Ryan, Jonathan and yourself? For some reason, you guys, the British scene, you guys coming in, you're fighting in Thailand against Thai fighters, and you guys are approaching the sport in a different way. Like, there is SMC, of course, but I feel like you guys are playing the game. You're playing the Muay Thai game and outdoing Thais in their own sport. So I just want to get a gauge from you. Why do you think that is? Why have you guys been able to get to another skill level when others haven't?
I think we've been able to do it because over the years, you see in England, Muay Thai has grown massively. As of recently, I went to a fight show and there was so many gyms. It's completely different to when, say, John grew up, there weren't a lot of gyms. But now, like, we're getting more regular shows. We're getting higher level shows. And we're just open to learning so much.
100%. I saw a clip of you when you were like 6 or 7 doing pad work with Jonathan. So can you just tell me, like, how long have you actually been doing this with your brother?
As long as I can remember, really. Maybe 3 or 4. Been doing it all my life.
So what do you remember from that? Seeing that now you're 20, you're just starting to get into your career. So what do you remember from, like, training from all those years ago to now?
Just remember in training always being the littlest. So I'd always have to work that little bit harder. So I'm sort of grateful for being the littlest because I was always with the big kids, always getting beat up. And after, I think, when I got a little bit bigger, it sort of changed and I sort of started to do the beating up a little bit.
Did you ever have a moment of realization that you felt like, oh, I need to get into fighting, this is the career choice for me? Or do you feel like because you were in the environment for so long, it was a no-brainer?
As a kid, I grew up doing musical theater. Mum loved me. I swear, I don't tell a lot of people this, but yeah, I was in the musical theater and Mum loved me dancing. And I think my dad did as well, to be honest. And then
you got the footwork.
One day I just, yeah. One day I finished my contract with the theatre I was performing with and we went to Thailand and I think I was about 9 at the time. Hadn't had no fights in England, no fights anywhere. And we went to this gym in Samui and they said, like, oh, do you want to fight? And I was like, yeah, why not? So ended up fighting when I was 9 in Thailand, first ever fight. And coming back to England, winning a few titles, and it was just like, this is what I want to do. I don't want to do anything else.
I've seen you move around a lot. You've gone to a whole bunch of different gyms. I've seen you in Thailand, seen you in England. I like the fact that you're working at different gyms because you can constantly get new things from different people who have specializations in different fields within the sport. So what has moving around done for you, seeing that you've kind of bounced around a little bit?
Yeah, so at the moment now, I'm mainly at my dad's in Lamai, which I think they're both great. But yeah, moving around, like going to other gyms for sparring or pad work, it's great because, like you said, people have different techniques and different skill sets, and you can pick from each person what little skills they have. You can sort of just make your own big, massive one. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Are you in do you feel like you're in a rush with your career? Because one thing that they said about you when I was reading some articles from one is they said Freddie has time on his hands, right? And you're 20. Like, there's no reason to rush. There's no stress at all. But I feel like you've been so active. You know, 1 year you've gone 3 knockouts in one championship. So do you feel like you're going to keep that activity? Or do you feel like you should just relax it down, go to some other places, get some new sparring, get some new looks, and just level up?
I want to stay as active as possible, hence the reason I've took this fight as well. I've got no injuries, I've got no complaints, so it don't make sense me turning it down, and it's a great opportunity. I'm not in a rush. Like you said, I'm 20, I've got another 10 years in the sport. I just want to take it in my stride and enjoy each fight as it comes. I'm not looking past the next fight ever. I'm always focused on that fight. What comes next, then I'll focus. But yeah, no rush from me. Just want to enjoy everything.
You've spent heaps of time in Thailand. So how do you think that impacted you as a person? Not from a fighting point of view, because we know they're amazing. So how do you think staying in Thailand impacted you from a non-sport point of view, like as a from a personal point of view?
It just teach me to be humble. Like, people don't always come from the greatest places, but everyone works hard. And it's that the culture as well. I fell in love with the culture out there. It's everyone's so nice, so respectful. Everyone's always got a smile on their face, no matter their situation. And all the Thais are so respectful and lovely. Like, they look after me so much in that gym. I'm I'm always grateful for it.
Even with some of the Thais that I met, I'm in Melbourne, so I at one point met Lerdzilla, and I didn't even know who Lerdzilla was. And I spoke. I'm not joking. I spoke to him. I shook his hand, and I introduced myself, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm Lerdzilla." And I only Googled him after. Such a humble bloke. So, you had any of those experiences with people in Thailand?
I remember meeting Prajanja at PK. And a few of the fighters at PK, and they were really nice and humble. I can't really think of I've interacted with anyone else. Just like, you know, when you see them, like they don't give you dirty looks or anything like around the stadium. They're so polite and respectful. Like they're always smiling and whatnot.
With your training with the Thais, who can you point to where you've said that guy gave me some savage sparring rounds, or like trained me the hardest, pushed me the furthest? Who's one person that you can kind of point to when you're in time in Thailand that gave you that really good work?
In Thailand,
would you say Jack? Wise.
Yeah, you know what, Jack? We for this last fight, we done a bit of clinch together, and he threw me about. He humbled me. He definitely humbled me. Not sure if you've seen, there was a video he put up where he was hitting pads, and he hit me around the head, and I kneed him.
He punched you a little bit, didn't he?
And he absolutely swept me off my feet.
Did he fight?
Yeah, so he used to fight, and then He come to Samui to be a padman at the gym, and he had a few fights in Samui, but only out of fun, not for money or anything. He just done it because he loves it. Like, I've never met someone that has so much heart for a sport in all my life. Like, he literally lives and breathes Muay Thai.
What's interesting about your career is that when I was researching you, I found out I think you're 2-0 in MMA. Is that right?
Yeah, amateur MMA, yeah.
So, if you did MMA, would you ever choose to go back into that in the future?
Or back into MMA?
That's Muay Thai. Like, it's going to be a couple years, of course, but what do you think?
That's the end goal. That's the plan, to be MMA world champion. My dad doing it before I was born, so it'd be nice to sort of carry that on from where he left off. He was, I think, 5 or 6 and I was a pro. But yeah, I'd 100% go back to it. I don't see why not. I'm always trying to push myself, and I'm constantly around MMA fighters. My gym, we've got a big MMA team, so I'm always jumping in every now and then, having a little bit of fun, trying to choke them out.
Tell me, so you did wrestling in BJJ, of course. So what are your levels at that right now, seeing that you're focusing on striking, and who have you been working with?
So we had a Russian guy called Ali come to our gym for wrestling for quite a few months. As well as working with him all the time, like Dagestani wrestling, like proper good wrestling. I really enjoyed it. And we had also European silver medalist, I think, Sid his name is. Fights at Team GB. He was down for a little bit. And I must say, I really enjoyed the wrestling more than the BJJ. Yeah, I've done a little bit of BJJ. I've got about two stripes on my white belt. But other than that, I haven't done much more.
With your 3-0 this year with the knockouts, which fight out of those three do you feel kind of was the most important for your career right now?
I think all of them, but if I had to pick one, most likely my first one. Oh, no. I'd say this last one that just happened, because I showed that I haven't just got a puncher's chance. I can be skillful. I can pick someone apart. I don't have to go in there and go all guns blazing all the time. I can let my skills show. So yeah, definitely this last one.
The Thai names, I always struggle with them, but I believe you debuted against Dang Kalong, if that's
the Dang Kalong, yeah.
And what I found interesting is when they introduced your record as 20-4. But when I Google athletes and stuff, they always refer to people's one championship records. So what are your opinions on that? That people are kind of seeing one champ at a higher prestige compared to the other competitions, that they kind of forget about people's previous records and they just focus on their one record. Because when I researched you, people said you're Freddie Haggerty 3-0, not Freddie Haggerty 20-4 when you debuted.
Yeah, so there's a funny story to this one. So that 20-4, that's my amateur record. That's not my pro record. So one in January this year, one, that was my first ever pro fight.
I see.
Jumped straight in the deep end. So I say to Chris all the time, I'm so annoyed that we had to put that as my record. I don't want to lose on my pro record. I've got to have it. But at the time, I think if I went on to one with an 0-0 record, it would have looked a bit like, okay, it's only because I'm John's little brother. Do you know what I mean? And it would have caused like a big uproar. But like these last three fights, I've shown that I'm not just John's little brother, because it's not John fighting, it's me. So maybe in the future, I can change that record back to 3-0 or maybe 4-0 after this one. Who knows?
Do you think they'll change the record to that like small one, the undefeated one?
I'm not sure. Maybe we'll have to talk to them and see what they say. But as of right now, my pro record is 3-0.
Some people debut, right? They don't usually debut in the UFC and carry their whole career throughout the whole thing. Like Max Holloway was like, had 4 or 5 fights before getting into the UFC when he was like 19. You guys now, one championship, they have a platform where you can debut in one champ and you can take it all the way to have like 20 fights, get the belt and do the whole career in one company. So we haven't really seen that before from like a platform point of view, you know what I mean? So how do you feel that like one championship has that platform that you can start your career and end your career in a singular promotion? It's a different thing. We haven't seen it.
Yeah, I definitely feel privileged. And I've only got John to thank, really, that John's shown that even with a short, little amount of experience, we can still compete against the big title fighters, the big fighters in the world. He was only, I think, in his maybe like 20 fights, maybe 19 when he first got into one. Or maybe less than that even. Maybe even 15. But he showed that we don't need a handful of experience to compete against these top level ties. We can get in there and mix it up with the hard training we do, the willing to learn all the time. So yeah, I'm grateful that one have given me the chance to be able to do my whole career through them. I'm looking forward to it.
The pressure with the debut that you had, I watched an interview with you and you were talking about it. To be honest, from my point of view, it seemed like you didn't really give a fuck that there was pressure on you. You seemed like you were just kind of too overly prepared for it and that you were fine, you felt neutral. So was there any like pressure? Like, do you feel any pressure? You feel fucking nothing? What do you feel?
There's always going to be a bit of pressure because there's always an expectation of being John's brother. But like I said, I know how to fight. I've been fighting my whole life. So even if I've had no pro fights, I know getting in there, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be able to hold my own. I'm tough. I'm skillful. But pressure's good as well. It makes me work harder. Makes me want to put the extra work in that no one else is putting in. I'll be the first to turn up, last to leave. I'll leave in the gym when the lights are off. Yeah, pressure's good, but I don't really let it get to me as much either. Just try to stay cool, calm, and collected.
What's interesting is a lot of people point to like a fighter and say, hey, he's a good kicker or he's a good puncher, whatever. With Jonathan's style, you know, he was so well balanced with everything that you can't really pick him in one area of the game. He just does the whole game. And that's what I liked when I saw you, you know, mixing everything up with the knees and elbows, because I didn't know when I was watching your stuff if you were a puncher, what were you, right? So I feel like your style is very well versed. So what do you think's the best part of your game, like from your opinion, seeing that from my opinion, it kind of looked like you were balanced with everything?
Yeah, so with my first two fights, I think I showed that I do quite like punching. Obviously, in the little gloves, it's a big advantage being in the little gloves, but I think I showed in this fight just gone that I can do everything. haven't got a good punch, but I think that my hands are one of my best skill sets, 100%.
I want to ask you about the international scene. So I'm in Australia and we've got a whole bunch of Australian Muay Thai fighters coming up and their quality's pretty good. We had John Wayne Parr at one point. So the Australian scene's doing good. So from what you've seen, what do you think about Australian fighters? What are your opinions on us?
I've seen some mad fighters come out of Australia. One that caught my eye recently, he fought Rodleck not that long ago.
Oh, Albert Tua.
Albert Tua. He's explosive.
He's a weapon.
I see him warming up before his fight on the pads and they were like, what would you do if you see your opponent warming up like this? And I was like, flip it out. Like, he's quite explosive and he's entertaining to watch. I watched that fight with Rodleck. It was a great fight. But yeah, I think the Australians are doing great. What they're getting is they're getting a lot of Thais coming over because they're moving from Thailand to Australia. So they're getting the benefits of all these Thais, all their little tricks and skills. And even the Australians themselves, they're coming over to Thailand. They're doing 6-month stints here. They're learning crazy amounts and going back and showing everyone in Australia. And they work quite well, all the Australians. So yeah, they're great. I think they're really good.
The best part about Albert is he's doing what you're doing. His end goal's MMA. He already got an offer from one championship and he ended up declining it and just working on himself. And now he's going to MMA at one point. So he's doing what you're doing. So I feel like a lot of fighters now, Muay Thai fighters, Jits guys, I feel like everybody's kind of trying to funnel to MMA and then in the meantime trying to compete in one area whilst learning everything else. Do you think that's like the new meta, what you have to do?
Yeah, I think so. Like, everyone's taking the looks at like the likes of Alex Pereira. He's done it. He was glory champion, absolutely smashing it. Now look at him on the world stage. UFC is the biggest star, I reckon, in UFC. Got Adesanya that done the same thing. Yeah, I think me personally, be a great MMA fighter, you master stand-up first. Because you see a lot of MMA fighters, they haven't got the best of stand-ups. You master stand-up first and work on the rest after. You've got very, very high potential. I think if you're a great stand-up fighter and you've got great takedown defense, with the basics of everything else, you're going to be a big, big problem.
One thing I want to say about the British scene is that I do bring up Liam Harrison because he was like such an inspiration for that generation. And then now, you know, like even your family, the Haggerty family, like you guys have shown that that region can have success in the sport. And now, you know, we've just seen a different area next to Britain. You got Scotland with like Nico Carrillo and JP Gallagher. So what do you think about the fact that Scotland's also coming into the sport too? And what do you think about those two and their work?
Yeah, I think it's good that it's not just England obviously working at the world stage. We've got Scotland as well. They got a good few Scottish people now, a handful of fighters on one RWS. So it's good to see. It just shows that Muay Thai is everywhere in the world now. Like, it's not just in certain handful of countries. It is genuinely everywhere. And Nico and JP, they work well together. Like, you can see they've got a connection when they're hitting the pads and stuff. So it's good to see for them. You know, when you get a connection with a pad man, it's amazing. So yeah.
We spoke about it a little bit beforehand, but your work and experience at Lamai with the Koh Samui guys. So why did you actually end up going to this gym? Is that a gym that Jonathan was at, or did you choose to go on your own and do something else?
So many years ago, when John came to Thailand as a kid, my dad took him to Lamai. It was called WMC back then. And yeah, my dad took him there. It was right old school, really enjoyed it. So that's where my brother was training all the time. And then when I went as a kid, we stayed in more like of a touristy part of Samui. So we went to a different gym called Georgia, which is a great gym itself. We went there a couple of times. And then I think when John went out there to train for the non-low fight, he didn't want to stay in Chaweng. That's where your jet was, because it's a bit part. It's got a bit of a party side to it as well. So, like I said, it's touristy. So he went to Lamai, went to he went to Lamai gym, Lamai area, and just done amazing work there. The Thais loved him. They looked after him as if he was a Thai. Do you know what I mean? So they didn't just turn away from him because he was a foreigner. Like, they looked after him like he was one of their own. And when I ended up coming, I felt the exact same. They looked after you. They work as hard as you work, if that makes sense. So if you're putting the work in, they'll put the work in. So it's just a great gym.
One fighter I want to talk to you about was he just fought for the RWS, which was the Walking Angel, Rita Wada, or however you say.
Yeah.
So that's a fighter that really like inspires my training. I want to ask you, what fighters do you feel have inspired your training?
Inspired my training, I'll say it every time. It's boring. Everyone hears it. John. Seeing how hard he works, like every camp he trains as hard as possible. He gives 110%, even when he's only got 5%. It's great inspiration to see that you can push your body to them boundaries when you're willing to do it, when you want to do it. And I think that's what makes us foreigners so dangerous when it comes to the Muay Thai. We don't do fighting because we need to do it. We can go get, in London, we can go get a normal job at any other person, do you know what I mean? But the fact that we want to put our body through it, we want to train that hard, we want to win, like, the Thais, they have to do it because it's a good way to earn money for their family. We want to do it. This makes us so much more dangerous because we're hungrier.
Freddie, when you train, what do you think, for everybody listening now, what do you think they should do in their training to get the most ROI for their training? Do you feel like that touch sparring and that flow sparring and just figuring out your distance that way is the best way to train and the fastest way that you're going to get better? What would you say?
I think when it comes to training, just be open to learning. If you're small-minded, you're not going to learn. If you're stuck in your ways, you're not going to learn. You need to be open to learning, to adapt and evolve. I think, like you said, the touch sparring and the flow sparring is great to have for technique-wise and skill-wise and getting your time in. But I also think sometimes you do need that hard spar as well, to just to tell yourself that, yeah, you can go hard if you need to. You've got the heart to go hard. You got the bite down on your gum shield and have it. I quite enjoy sparring, having a little bit of a hard spar every now and then. It just reminds me of why I love fighting. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, a mixture of hard and light sparring is great.
How much have you done? Like, how much hard sparring have you done? Because you've been here in the community since you've been a kid. So, you know, like, as we know, brain trauma is such a prevalent topic nowadays. So how much hard sparring do you feel like you've done through your career?
The right amount. The right amount to get me tough, the right amount to know that I've got the heart, I want to do this. Even when it gets tough, I want to fight. I get hit, I want to hit back harder. I get hurt, I want to hurt them. So I think, yeah, but I've done the right amount of hard sparring, definitely.
I think everybody's kind of intrigued listening, seeing that there is that comparison between you and your brother. And I'm confident that when you do your career, that you'll make your own legacy. So I want to know, what do you think are the biggest differences between him as a fighter and you as a fighter?
I think me as a fighter, John has said this himself on a podcast once. I do love to brawl. I know you've seen John in some hard fights and like he had to bite down on his gum shield, but like that's what I love. Like, my dad has to tell me to not do that. He has to drill it in my head. Don't do this. Don't do this. Like, I enjoy that aspect of getting hit and hitting back and just biting down on gum shield and just having it. I love that sort of side to the fighting. But I think John's adapted his own style as well. He's not that traditional Thai fighter. He uses the teep to attack, where it's mainly used to defend. And yeah, I think his technical ability might be a little bit hide of mine where he's adapted his own style and stuff. But I make up for that in toughness and grit.
Right now in the Muay Thai space, seeing that you've been in the community for so long, what do you think is the, like the, not I would say the culture of the sport of Muay Thai, what do you think have been the biggest changes from when you started, when Jonathan started, to now from stylistic point of view? Because a lot of guys have changed how they've fought. So what have you seen? What do you think are the biggest changes right now?
Biggest changes is that you know, like, in a 5-round fight in Muay Thai, you'd have the slow 2 rounds, not really a lot of action, sort of for the betting in Thailand. Whereas you see over in England, you go hard from the first bell to the last bell. Like, I don't see the whole point of the first 2 rounds being slow. I think that's where it's changed stylistically, where the Thai, they can't come in slow no more. They have to sort of match our level. Otherwise, they end up getting caught early and getting hurt. They need to be switched on from the word, like from the first bell. But yeah, I think that there's a lot more aggressive techniques now, a lot more spiteful techniques.
Freddie, where'd you find Demetrius Johnson? I saw that photo of you two.
We was in, so when John fought Rod Tang the first time, he was also on the card. So I met him in Philippines.
Nice. I've got a final question for you. So yeah, when I scrolled to the very bottom of your Instagram, you were just a kid and you were walking around these massive fight scenes. So you've been here for a very long time and your family's already had a legacy and now they're continuing it with you. So from that point of view, how do you feel? How do you feel that you were there for that long and now you're seeing your work start to pay off now, the beginning of it? What does that mean to you?
It means everything to me. It means everything that I've done as a kid. Like, after school, you'd have a group of friends, they'd go play football. I'd walk home and go straight to the gym. I'd be at the gym till 12 o'clock at night, go home, do the same thing every day. It shows that if you're dedicated and it's something you really want, it pays off and it's nice. It's a nice sort of feeling to be able to be on the world stage now. And sort of, if my younger self was looking at me now, I'd be like, you're doing it. You're living what you wanted to do.
That's all we have time for. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Freddie, for your time. Is there any final remarks you want to say to everybody listening as we wrap up the podcast?
Get ready for a great fight, January 24th in Impact Arena, Bangkok.
Follow Freddie on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat.
I'm coming for the kill.